We're here recording our second episode of Retail Ramblings from the NRF, the National Retail Federation Big Show. We've got the pleasure of having Simon Rodrigue in the booth for this particular episode. I got the surname right this time again, didn't I?
You did, yes. I think. Very good.
We've got another NRF episode coming out, and I've probably mispronounced it there. So
It's been a long day.
It's been a long day. Yeah. I've also got my colleague Victor in the booth.
Hello, hello everybody.
And he's going to play colour commentator and kind of colour in the conversation that we have today with Simon. I also want to make a mention of the Canadian connection that we have in the booth at the moment. Not too pertinent to me because I'm Australian and I don't really care about Canada too much.
Yeah, but you know what? You're ruining everything.
I'll let Victor kind of.
We had a Canuck connection in the room, and I was going to include you, but now you realize that you are totally Australian. And you do not apply. So unfortunately, you know, I think we're gonna have a lot of chemistry.
Absolutely.
Here. Chris is going to have to try to fill in some gaps. You do what you do best, Chris. I want you to get started. Let's get some questions for Simon here.
Yeah, let's get straight into it, Simon. So. What I might let you do is I might let you introduce yourself first a little bit. Give us a little bit of a background on what you do. I'm only going to give you about 30 seconds or a minute because I'm very strict about the brief introduction at the beginning.
By the way, the last one was 5 minutes. So
I'll just go on and on. And first off, guys, thanks for having me. It's really exciting, and it's great to be part of this at the NRF Big Show. And you know, I've been in retail now for more than half my life. You know, my parents had a retail store, and I grew up in that. And all through university, I was in retail, but I think the real big first thing for me was at Home Depot. Had the opportunity to, be a merchant for a bit, and then took on bringing HomeDepot.ca to life in Canada. Mm-hmm. After that, I don't know if this is a good or bad thing now, especially with the news, but it was in Sears Canada. It wasn't my fault, but that was a really interesting time because we actually moved off the Amazon platform.
Okay.
So that was in the days like the Targets and Toys R Us were all feeding all this incredible data to Amazon. Because they were running the platform. So I got to be part of that. Spent a little bit of time in the travel industry, which was really interesting with both Travelocity Canada, and there was the VP of site experience in Travelocity kind of North America. And then came back to Canada after we had a little American, a six-year-old, he's an American. Spent about 5 years at Walmart Canada running their e-commerce operations. So it was a lot of fun. I got to do a lot of really great things. And since then, so kind of over the last 2 years, we have kind of a consulting advisory practice. Where we kind of help big retailers and medium-sized retailers as well as the technology providers selling into them. Mm-hmm. And we spend a lot of time just helping them work through problems and just being there as a sounding board and really understanding what it's been done. And through that, we actually launched 3 e-commerce businesses to help understand what was going on. The first one was MindOnToxicLife.ca, which is really about how quickly could you build a website in today's age. Mm-hmm. And kind of prove that point out. And it's, again, a business really just focused on Canada, and it's a curated product assortment. The second business for us, we wanted to test how easy it is to build a brand today, and what does that mean, and the different things that go on. And we launched InstantTeas.com, so mm-hmm. it's kind of a higher-end premium line of 100% pure natural instant tea products. And that let us really understand, you know, from product development, but how do you build a global brand? So we've shipped to over 13 different countries right now. Okay. Really exciting. And then the one we launched most recently was we wanted to look at the marketplace model and how that's evolving. So in October, we launched popvulture.com. Mm. And that's a community of bringing artists together and fans and having the different products. It's mainly T-shirts and pins, but there's mm-hmm. some other things that we're working on. But it's really neat seeing that community and how they evolve the platform. And all of this was really kind of to kind of test out some of those evolving trends that exist in retail today. So I think for us, it's been a lot of fun.
That's brilliant. So cool. You've been on the front line, I guess, with Walmart and the Home Depot and Sears as well. But you've also seen what it's like or what it takes to put a brand out there to test these different theories that you've seen or suggested at Walmart. So it's really exciting to have the chat with you today. What we're going to do, we're going to jump into the questions. We start our episode, Simon, usually with winners and losers. I'm going to let you take this how you want to take it because I know some people aren't necessarily comfortable yep. talking about the losers. I love talking about the losers. if you go back and listen to some of our episodes, I've probably had too much fun talking about the losers, and I mentioned Sears a few yeah. times, so maybe don't listen to them.
Because like half the retail industry will not hire you.
Exactly.
So I'm burning a lot of bridges, aren't yeah. I?
But absolutely.
That's okay. I don't belong here anyway. So
send you back to Australia.
That's it. So what I'm going to first ask you is, which retailers do you see as a big winner in mastering a true omnichannel experience in big box and department store retail? Is there anyone you can think of off off the top
well,
of your
head? Well, I think there's a couple of defaults, and I don't know if you guys, well, you guys just got in today, but you didn't have the opportunity to see Doug McMillon yesterday talk with Walmart. And I think it's not necessarily a winner or loser, because I still think, you know, this is still a little bit of the Wild West and everyone's testing, but I think some of the things that Walmart's doing and really pushing forward has been in interesting. And I think when you think about department stores and those mass retailers, I think it's they're probably the leaders in this space. I think if you take it down another step, there's a couple of other really good examples. And I think a brand that everyone's probably really familiar with would be Sephora.
Right.
And I think what's really interesting with them is you don't actually think of Sephora as a multi-channel company. They just happen to be a retailer that has a website and online. And mm-hmm. when you really think about it, they truly are a seamless experience. They've really built that brand and continue to deliver on that. And then you even, like, if you want Canadian examples, and you know, I don't think anyone is really crushing it in Canada today. But you look at a company like Chapters Indigo,
right.
And I think that they don't really do anything different. But it's a really great experience. Right. Like, you think about that store pickup, and they do some silly things that I quite still don't understand, where they've got two price files. Like, sometimes you're paying different for a book in store than online. Mm-hmm. So it's not saying that they're 100% getting it right.
Right.
But I think that they're definitely kind of pushing the envelope and learning and really listening to their customers, which I think is really key in the space today. From a loser perspective, and I am in the camp that I'm not going to name names, but I think I think there's a couple of things that define you as a loser today. And I think one is sitting on the sidelines. And there are retailers, both in Canada and the U.S., that are like, let's let everyone figure this out first, and then we'll move along. And I think the challenge with that is that you can't wait in this game. Like, you by the time your customer has made that adjustment, and you know, I always like talking about... there's almost a reset that happens when a customer changes their shopping habits. So, you know, 20 years ago when the hypermarkets were formed, where you had like a Walmart or some of the other players, when you mix grocery and GM together,
right.
That would change someone's shopping habit and they would relook at the brand. I think what's happening today is you're having the digital reset occur. So somebody's like, okay, I was buying this power tool, in the store, now I think I might buy that online. Or it could be, diapers, it could be travel, it could be anything. When that reset happens, it almost, in the customer's mind, it allows them to go out and experience new brands. Mm-hmm. And, we always talked about at Walmart, it was the golden order, that fourth order, that when someone does something with you online or experiencing your brand in the store, then they're locked. And I think the challenge is for some of these retailers that are waiting on the sidelines saying, we're still comping, we're still growing our business, we can still open more stores, mm-hmm. that's really hurting them. I think the other thing that losers are doing is they aren't trying enough new things out. So I'm only going to do this. It's really tested. I don't want to get into, there's retailers today that aren't shipping to home. Mm-hmm. There's retailers today that don't want to test out new brands or extend into channels. And I think those are things that are really going to hurt people as they move along. And, it's unfortunate. There's probably many, many retailers that fall into that pool today.
Absolutely. And I actually think one of the first things that you said really rings true for me. And you mentioned Walmart. I think what I'm seeing from Walmart lately is not just all the movement, Jet.com and all the things that we're hearing about them really pushing the forefront of e-commerce. It's about the brand. If you look now, they don't call themselves Walmart anymore. If you look on their banner ads, they're mm-hmm. Walmart.com. And I think that full level of commitment is what's really shaping them into a player that's going to go toe-to-toe with Amazon. Amazon has been playing this game for how long now? 15, 20 years at least, right? And they've committed to being an online-only retailer. I think what we're seeing now is Walmart's recognizing this is the future and they're ready to commit. They're not going to get rid of their stores necessarily, but they're ready to commit on a branding front.
Well, and I think it's how they're taking technology into the stores, right? And I think what's really neat, if you guys had a chance to walk the show yet, there are so many different vendors out here or suppliers that are doing work with Walmart. Like, you look at, for example, like within one area on the main floor, there's three different companies that are helping put technology in stocking the shelves and understanding what shelves need to look like. Like, that's really interesting. That's a bold statement for any retailer that we think this is an opportunity for us. We aren't going to try one path. We're going to try three or four different paths and see which one gives us the best results. And I think that's what's really exciting, and I think it's a good news for Walmart as a company.
And we've seen it with brands that we've dealt with as well, Victor, how important testing is and being able to measure and track. And obviously Walmart understands the benefit of being able to test and try these different things, and they're the leader, right? They're, I think in consumers' minds now, it's almost starting to become Amazon and Walmart. Do you know what I mean? It's those two are pitted against each other, and all credit to Walmart for being able to kind of pivot and make that move. I'm curious, and Victor, I might get you to kind of answer this. Simon spoke a little bit about Sephora and how good Sephora is with Omnichannel, and Simon, you might want to answer this as well, but how much has this been due to brands helping Sephora create that experience? How much are brands contributing to Sephora to be able to create this Omnichannel experience?
Well, absolutely. Okay, that's a great question. If you look at brands today, especially in Sephora, there is no bar set higher for brands than if you're supplying into Sephora. Hence why every quarter you're seeing a flush of new brands come in and some that are getting flushed out. And I think the reason for this is they have a bar of excellence. They want you to understand their consumer to that next level. So it's not simply just throwing an end cap and hoping that it works. They've really tested this. They've really gone through the numbers and proven with data that what they're doing is going to be successful, and they make adjustments along the way. I think that's absolutely imperative to Sephora's success over and above all the other things are doing to be innovative in the space.
Anything you want to add to that, Simon?
No, and I mean, I think that what that really touches on is that you talk about how you need to really combine everything you do. And it's not just about the data within your organization, it's about how you access that data and then hold your partners accountable. And you know, I agree with you. I mean, Sephora is doing a phenomenal job with that.
Right. Perfect. So we'll jump across to the next question. Now, with merchants under increased pressure to often manage both offline and online for their category, how can vendors help to make that process easier for their buyers to integrate that online and offline world? What have you seen being used?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of things, and I think first off, it's just getting in that mindset that I look back at the retailers I've worked with. There definitely are a lot of demands on the retailer. I mean, it may be shipping product in differently, on the vendor. It may be shipping product in differently. There's different data requirements. There's new data requirements. You think about product images. You think about rich content, videos, spec sheets, warranty information.
Right.
It's not treating it as I have to do this. Like, this is really how the business is evolving. And I think part of the challenge, too, is that this is new for everyone. And often the retailer is going to get ahead of you, because they're the ones that are ultimately talking to the customer and understanding that and driving it forward. So I think there's a couple of things. One is get really serious about what you're doing. So you know, we're going to be an omni-channel supplier, and what does that mean? So making sure your data is available, making sure that you're supporting it. And then I think the other thing too, though, is start asking the retailer what they can provide you. So take an interest in what your conversion rates are. How often are my products showing up? How are my products being purchased, and what channel are they being purchased in? What are return rates? Is that because things are being damaged in shipping? You know, what are some of the things I can do to improve it versus just, oh, you're telling me to do this? Okay, I'll do that. Really try to take take a lead. And I think the other interesting, that's only going to make your company better.
Right.
Because if you're a supplier today, there may be an opportunity in the future for you to start going direct to the consumer. And I'm not saying that it means ditch your retail partners, but more and more suppliers, and that whole world is starting to blur, there'll be opportunities for you to go direct, whether it's through marketplaces and new markets, or just even your top customers are going to start coming to you saying, can I just buy this from you? If you start getting that stuff ready today, it'll make that transition easier in the future.
Right. So much of our research that we've done kind of paints the same picture, right? It's about collaboration now. It's about it's a two-way street. It's no longer, I'm going to get sell in and that's it, and just making sure that my products are on shelves and then let the retailer deal with it. It's now a mutual partnership, and it's making sure that both parties are effective in really retailing that product and getting it out to consumers.
Right, yeah. Today's successful vendor is not leaning on their buyer. It's the other way around. They're leaning on them, and they want you to be the product expert, and I think you're 100% right. How are you going to go to market, direct to consumer, which is it's a Wild West. It's a tough world to go out to, because you're not relying on the brand name of that big retailer you're selling into. How do you go out there and succeed? And I think, obviously, what we're hearing is you have to be ready, and you have to know your numbers. You have to know what's moving, where it's moving, and really understand your category to that next level. In essence, everybody should be a category captain.
Absolutely.
Nobody should feel like, oh, I'm not the category captain, so I won't know this information. Everybody needs to be, and that's where the retail world is moving.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
Perfect. So I think I'm going to just check my clock quickly and see how we're going for time, but we might only have time for one more question. I'm curious, curious, and I've kind of seen the lines blurred a lot already at this show, but Simon, what you consider a retailer today? What is a retailer? Because we're seeing purchases made on our phone through Facebook. We're seeing so many different channels of brands reaching out to us and retailers reaching out to us. I guess it's no longer going into a mall, but what is a retailer? I'm curious to know.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's ultimately two parts to that question. First is that the world is changing, and you're talking about whether it's just, you know, omni-channel or multi-channel or distributed commerce. You're needing to sell where your customers are now. Mm-hmm. And you're right, you can do a if you live in the States, you can do a transaction on Facebook. You can do a transaction on Instagram without ever visiting a retailer site. That data is then, you know, fed back into the retailer system or whoever it may be. I think the other thing that's happening too is you have that, you're saying that the line blurring between, you know, I sell stuff and I make stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether that's a retailer that's got strong private label or it's a brand that's selling into retail that consumers really like, we're in that, you know, I think it's been going on for about a year now, and it's kind of moving even faster every day, where that world is starting to reset, where because it's, you know, whether it's through marketplaces, like I can sell into an Amazon, or if I want to get into China, I can sell through a Tmall, or there's so many markets, there's other channels I can push into, and retailers are starting to take advantage of that. And then you've got brands like, well, if you guys are selling through another channel, why can't I sell into another channel? So you're starting to get all of this, not necessarily channel conflict, but it's a little bit of uncertainty in who's doing that. And then I think the other challenge that sometimes will happen is who owns the customer. And to your point, it's a two-way street now. And some retailers are taking, data is really important now, so I want to close my system. And what that causes is it leaves your partners outside. Mm-hmm. And your partners are like, well, I need that data and I need that feedback, so I'll go directly to the customer to get it. So I think we're in really, really interesting times where I think you're going to see definitely the continued advancement of retailers going online. And then starting to sell directly through more channels. I think you'll see channels like Facebook or whatever the social platform is of the day, people buying more. Right. I think you're going to start seeing more people testing out marketplace channels. Mm-hmm. And it's almost the frenemy concept from Amazon. You know, in my home market, I may be in a bitter battle against Amazon, but I may use them to enter into another market. So like if you think about, if you're a Canadian retailer and you've got a strong private label brand, you could very easily bring that to the United States, right, leveraging Amazon's marketplace and their fulfillment by Amazon. And in that case, you know, I may hate them in Canada, but I love them in the U.S.
Right.
And then I think the same thing is going to happen with suppliers, where suppliers are going to start testing about how do I move a small percentage of my business direct to customer, because it brings me that much closer and I can learn that much more from them. So I think it's really, really interesting times for us. And I think it's, you know, how do you make sure your systems are there to support it? How are you testing your business? And then how are you making sure that your data, whether you're a retailer or your supplier, is able to support each other's business? So I think we're set for very interesting times right now.
And most of all, it's power to the consumer, right?
Right, absolutely.
that's what it comes down to when we kind of talk in these abstract terms. But at the end of the day, the consumer's winning. And if that means that obscure Canadian brand that you've never heard of is found through Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest or whatever it may be, it's really power to the consumer, and retailers do need to understand that that's that bigger picture there.
Right.
So I'm thinking that's all we've pretty much got time for today. Simon, I want to thank you for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks for taking the time to have a chat with us. There's so much great conversation happening at the NRF this weekend and tomorrow as well, which is Tuesday. And it's fantastic to speak with somebody such as yourself who has so much knowledge and obviously a really valued opinion in the space. So thank you again for coming in.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was my pleasure. Thanks a lot, guys.
Perfect. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And look forward to our next episode of Retail Ramblings.
Take care until then.